I'm working. How you going? Oh, this is, they've graduated me onto the big microphone, so I feel like I should do a good job. How you going? My name, if you don't know, is Thomas, and I am 17 and feeling wonderfully young. I approached Jim probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, about starting up another evening service at Westside, and yeah, we kind of ran with it from there, and it's good to see it grow and good to see God's hand on the night service as we've really developed. So a little bit about me. Yeah, I'm 17. I graduated school last year and didn't really know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do until about grade 10, and then felt a real strong calling into ministry from probably a young age, which was very unusual for a public secular school. But regardless of that, I kind of prayed about it for quite a while and felt that Bible college was the next practical step. So that is where I'm at the moment, at Brisbane School of Theology in Toowong. Used to be Crossway College and then Queensland Theological Institute, something like that. It's changed names a few times. Why don't I just pray before we start? Just before we start things off. So yeah, dear Lord, thank you so much that you've brought everyone here safely today. Thank you that we can really just dig into you in another service, Lord, and that we don't have to just stick to our Sunday morning service, Lord, but we can get another dose of you tonight at the Sunday evening service, Lord. I pray for myself. I just pray that the words that I'm speaking tonight will be your words, Lord, and will be what you want to be said, and it would just speak into people's hearts, and yeah, people would just get something out of it tonight. Lord, amen. So yeah, in late January, Jim and I met to plan and discuss this year's, like the first 3 months of night services for the year, and we were coming up with topics, and we got to this month's, and Jim was like to me, what's a topic, you know, you're a young person, what's a topic that young people like you would really like to hear and would really like to get something out of? So I then decided to try and think up something that I thought would be really hard and really challenging to preach on, that was going to be something that we could tackle and that was a really hard issue that I know I struggle with sometimes, but other people may as well. So I suggested the idea of talking about boldness and specifically being bold without being rude. And I suggested it to Jim and Sarah and we got the idea down, and I felt pretty good about myself knowing that I had suggested something really hard and challenging. And then Jim said to me, oh, you can preach it then. So, here I am preaching on boldness without rudeness. And yeah, today we're going to look at boldness, but not the act of just being bold, which we're all called to do, by the way, but the act of being bold without being rude, which can be very hard. So today, scripture-wise, if you've got your Bibles with you, if you could open up to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and we will have a look at that. And just some background on this section of text before we look at it. It's important to note that this section is God giving commission to Joshua after the death of Moses. So we'll open up there. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Old Testament. I don't know any of the words yet, but we're getting there. All the land of the Hittites and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's a good bit of text. I like it. Now, all throughout Exodus, Joshua was essentially the right-hand man to Moses. And in a matter of time, he had gone from being the right-hand man to someone who seemed to have it all together and had shown a lifetime of faithfulness to being called by God to take possession of his people's land and to keep the faith of his people. Now, I think there's a lot that we can take out of this on the topic of being bold. I think it's fair to say that Joshua may have felt he'd been thrown in the deep end, that he wasn't adequate to undertake this. And yet the Lord was clear to him and told him to be strong and of good courage, and that he would not leave or forsake him. And God's promise to us is the same. We may be called to be bold and courageous, but the Lord promises never to leave us. So firstly, what can we take out of this when being bold? I think it's important to look at verse 8, which highlights the importance of following the commands of God when being bold. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is according to all that is written in it. We as Christians can't say that we're following the commands of God if our idea of boldness is to bash people down and damn people to hell, so to speak. As one of the few non-Christians in my grade, As one of the few Christians in my grade at school last year, it was clear to see that most non-believers thought that Christianity was all about telling people how wrong they are and judging people on their life decisions that we don't agree with. When you start to adopt that as your way of spreading the gospel, you firstly don't follow one of, if not the most important command of God, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. And on top of this, we also run the risk of giving people a sour taste of Christianity in their mouths. Whilst there is always a time and place for conviction and keeping people accountable, it should only ever be done out of love, and you most definitely shouldn't enjoy bashing someone down and telling them where they've gone wrong. If you're getting enjoyment out of telling someone off for their life choices, I'd really encourage you to take a look at your Bible and aim to share the love Christ shared with you with others. I would like Nathan to come up and quickly share a short story of being bold, but also acting out of love. I'll get you a microphone.
Hello, everyone. So, as you heard, I'm Nathan. Apologies if I sound quite sickly, because I am. It's not been a great start to the holidays for me, but we'll go with that. So Thomas has asked me to talk about a story that I've probably said more in the past few months than any other story I've ever said. And I'm sorry to the youth. You guys are going to be sick of this story. I've said it like 6 times at youth. But this is about a time that was probably the most nerve-wracking of my life. So at the start of this year, it was about probably week 4 in school term, like in school terminology, week 4, and I'm at school, and I get home, and like any teenager, I hop on social media, and I'm looking through, and a bunch of girls from my grade had started a social media group, a group page called 2017 Graduates. And the point of this group was to share information to each other that, might be helpful to one another. And a group of boys took this as their opportunity to start posting memes. And whilst at first posting memes sounds fun, it's not fun when the memes become targeting other students and the comments on it are satirical and are dragging others down. Now, for those of you who don't know, I am school captain at Centenary State High School. And the girls who had started the group thought, you know what, we're not going to try to deal with this, we'll give it to the school captain. So I get dragged into it, wonderfully, I'm so keen for this, And here I am, and they go, oh, these boys are posting things. We don't want to have to deal with them. Can you take care of it, please? Yeah, okay, bye. And so here I am. They've made me an admin of the group, and they want me to deal with this. So I spent probably about an hour writing the most respectful message that I think I could ever write to a bunch of teenage boys who are posting memes. And I posted this post, and initially it was great. You know, people were liking it, you know, people were appreciating that I had attempted to do this. And then it began. So what happened was is there was about probably 10 to 12 of these boys who started saying, who started commenting, you suck, you're the worst, but in much more derogatory and offensive terms. I'm not going to say them, of course. And I'm sitting here thinking all I wanted to do was make this a better place for students, and now I'm the one who's getting attacked for it. I did get a lot of support from people, but it wasn't enough for me mentally. After being at my computer for nearly 6 hours replying to these boys, I just broke down in tears in front of my parents. And that, for me, is a big thing. Not that I don't mind crying. I think it's fine that guys cry. But for me to actually get to that point, obviously it has to be something very serious. And what had happened was is that these boys had been private messaging me with threats saying, you are going to get bashed, and these sorts of things. And I thought, I'm scared to go to school tomorrow. And so here I am in front of my parents, and for about 2 hours, I'm just crying. Just crying my eyes out. And out of nowhere in my mind, while I'm clouded in all this hatred and whatever it is in my mind that's filling me, out of nowhere, I just think, I need to buy these people who are attacking me a present. I thought, no, surely I'm not thinking that, am I? I'm not actually going to buy these attackers a present. And what I was actually making reference to was some scripture, which I couldn't think of at the time because I'm just a crying mess, but it was, what I was making reference to was in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 44. You have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And essentially what I did is the next morning, still a crying mess, went down to the local shops and I bought a 10-pack of Coke. And I then went to school and I'm still a crying mess. And I'm in the car and I'm texting people, I'm calling people, asking them to pray for me because I'm still scared about going to school. And I went into school and the first 3 hours passed and I'm still crying. Quite embarrassing for me, but, you know, it happens, especially when you've been threatened. And it rolls around to AM break. And I went and I'd given the 10-pack of Coke to a 10 or 12-pack, I can't remember, but I gave it to a teacher to put in their fridge. And it was a soaring hot day. I think it was like 36 degrees almost. And so I went and got this 10-pack of Coke, and I took it to my attackers, and I said, hello, guys. I'd like to offer you this 10-pack of Coke for no reason at all. I'm just going to give it to you. And I gave it to them, and I have never seen anyone more confused, ever. And they were so, so confused as to why the person that they'd been attacking had then given them this gift. And they really appreciated it because being such a hot day, you know, that was pretty good. And everyone around in the surrounding groups who knew about the thing that had happened, they all thought, why are you giving those douchebags a present? And to this point now, I'm actually quite good friends with those people who attacked me, including one guy who really went hard on me and, like, just, he wanted me dead almost. He now loves me. So it just goes to show that, you know, the power of love is a lot stronger than the power of evil. So, yeah, that's the story.
Thanks, Nathan. That was pretty cool. So, yeah, what we can see from that is Nathan wasn't any less bold because he didn't go up to someone and start shouting at them, abusing them, belittling them. In fact, he was probably a lot more bold because he put himself in the face of persecution and blessed them. He knew that the Lord wouldn't leave him, that the Lord wouldn't forsake him like he promised Joshua, and he boldly blessed them. Just imagine the change that we could see in the world if we were to start, instead of going and belittling people, going, you know, you do this with your life. I hate that. You know, God hates that. He's going to damn you to hell, put you down into hell. And going, you know, I don't agree with you. We don't agree. But I love you because God tells me to love people. And God loves you and I love you as well. Just imagine the simple little changes. If we make those simple little changes, the big change overall that we can make. Secondly, I think it's important for us to have the confidence in the promises of God on our lives when we're being bold to knock back the lies of the enemy. We can see in verse 9 of the text, God telling Joshua not to be afraid as the Lord is with him wherever he goes. I really believe this is incredibly important for us today. One of the things the Lord has been telling me this year is to have confidence in my calling. After starting Bible college, I am the youngest student on campus. I am 17 and everyone else is above 18. So technically they all need blue cards to be around me in the classroom because I'm still incredibly small. So yeah, that made Mission Week this week interesting, but we'll roll with it. Yeah, the youngest student at the entire university, I was starting to tell myself, you know, maybe I'm too young. Maybe I should work for a year. Come back to it in a year's time when you're not still a baby, you're not the youngest student on campus, and I come back and you'll be older and you'll be wiser. You'll be a much wiser person because you'll be another year older. If only it worked that way. It was during this time that I felt the Lord calling me to be confident and bold. I've just lost my words. I really can't read, can't I? Lord telling me to be confident and bold in what he was calling me into and to equip myself now for ministry because, you know, what's better than going in young, getting equipped for ministry now and then having the rest of your life to do the ministry work because you did the basic training when you were still young. It just makes a lot more sense when you think about it. You know, how are we meant to be bold into sharing the good news of the Lord if we aren't confident in what the Lord has given us the ability to do? Philippians 4, verse 13, that's my shout-out to Mum. She wanted me to say that to credit her in this sermon, so I'm going to use her favorite Bible verse to say thank you. There we go. Thanks, Dad, as well, and Ryan, and Buster the dog. Philippians 4, verse 13 says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And although sometimes it requires huge leaps of faith, like Nathan, to be and incredibly bold acts, having confidence in what the Lord is calling you to do is basically the first step into reaching other people. On top of this, we as Christians who have confidence in the calling of God need to knock back the lies of the enemy when he tells us we aren't cut out to be bold for Christ. When I was preparing for this sermon, there was a period of time where I felt the enemy was constantly bashing me and saying to me, you know, you're only 17, you're going to be talking to people who are old enough to be your parents and who are probably double your age. It's okay, you don't look a day over 25, none of you. So you all look young, don't worry. So yeah, I just felt really attacked and really let down. Well, not let down, but really heavy because the enemy was just cutting me down. And you know, looking back now, I realize that that is a classic lie that the enemy can put into our lives. You know, how many times have you felt the prompting of the Lord to do something and then straight away you've had the thoughts of, this is weird, I'll look silly. Do I really want to associate myself with those people who go out and pray for anyone and everyone, those street evangelists? When those thoughts come, I can guarantee that they are 110% the lies of the enemy. Because Scripture calls us to be bold and not to follow the ways of the world because we are part of the world. And I strongly believe that part of the call of God on the lives of his followers is to be bold for him. You know, we're living in a world that is we're getting increasingly persecuted. You know, you can go to places in the Middle East, you can go probably sometimes just down your local street, and Christians aren't accepted anymore. It's not like it was where, you know, everyone was Christian, everyone went to church, everyone had a church. You're in the minority now, and it may hurt to hear it, but we're the minority. People don't go to church anymore. And, you know, as this world becomes more accepting of things like other Eastern religions and other lifestyle choices that we may not agree with that isn't godly, it's going to become harder to be Christian. And I think as that happens, we as Christians need to start going, you know, we're going to step into this place of boldness. We're not going to be afraid because God's got us. He's protecting us and we can do all things through him. And you know, when we start to be bold, that's when we start to make the impact. But at the same time, we can't be bold without by slapping people down. And we also can't be bold if we go, no, not now, later. You know, this isn't convenient for me. It's not convenient for me to go out. I'm going to share another story here. It's not convenient for me to go and pray for that homeless person when I'm walking to go and get my train because I'm going to miss my train. You know, there's a train 10 minutes after that, but, you know, I want to be home earlier. It's raining. You know, it's all about stepping into that place of boldness and going, you know what, it may not be convenient for me, but God wants me to do it. He's asked me to do it. So let's be bold and let's go in and do it because that's what he's asked me to do. Finally, I want to stress that sometimes the boldest acts of faith aren't the words we utter out of our mouths, but the way we live our lives. 1 John 3:18 says that, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. You know, we can influence our world greatly when we start acting how Jesus acted. You know, like Nathan did, he went and bought the Coke for people. He didn't say anything. He didn't go up to them and go, you know, hi, I'm a Christian and God wants me to bless you, so I'm buying Coke for you. Even though that's what happened, he went up to them and said, you know, here's this Coke. And it left them asking questions. Because, you know, when people start asking questions, they come and ask you those questions and then you can answer them. You can go, yeah, I'm a Christian. God prompted me to do this for you, and so I'm going to go and do it for you. Yeah, when we begin to look at the example that Jesus set and we live that out in our actions, we start to influence the world around us. What an incredible example it is when your actions alone get people asking why you're different from the rest of the world. If the way you live your life is enough for people to go, that guy's different, that girl's different, wow. Just think about that, the amazing testimony that your life can be when your actions alone influence what happens in the world. So tonight, like with night service, we've always wanted to leave a position for the night to get practical and for us to expand on the night. So tonight I would like us to get practical. Ooh, scary. In a moment I will ask the band to come back up on the stage and we're going to join together in the last song that we played before for a bit of free worship, just a bit of messing around and, well, not messing around, but you know what I mean. During this time, I would like anyone who desires an increase of boldness in their life and wants the Lord to make them bold and bless them with boldness, come down the front, because that's a bold act in itself. Stepping up to the altar in front of everyone else, ooh, it's convenient, it's comfy to sit in my seat. Come down the front. We're going to get people to pray for you. So if Kat, Jim, Tony, Doug, Glenn, just people that are, and Peter, Kelly, people like that, that are like elders and all that kind of good stuff. So yeah, if they want to come down and get prayer from these people, and, you know, just a prayer for an imparting of boldness into your life to become bold. You know, don't feel pro. Oh yeah, and Bruce, he's an elder as well. I didn't see you at the back. Don't feel pressured to come down to the front because, you know, it's not for everyone. And it's okay. You know, if you don't feel like coming down the front, don't feel stressed. It's all right. Just pray with someone next to you. Pray on your own. Because, you know, God doesn't bless you anymore if you're up here or if you're down there. Because there's no time or distance in the Spirit. Thanks, Sarah. Pray for the Lord to make us bold. And from that, that'll probably be the formal conclusion as well. You know, you're more than welcome to stick around and pray and just join with us in a bit more worship. But at the same time, if you have places to go, people to see, feel free to head on home. Thank you for coming tonight. It's good to see so many people here. And yeah, have a safe trip home. But yeah, if the band wants to come up, we'll join in our last song together and we'll, if you want to come up to the front for boldness and just prayer, feel free. Thank you for being here for my first sermon. It's very nice. Just very nice.
Yes, you can stand if you want.
Tune in.